Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word, because God's Word is true, God's Word is great, and God is greatly to be praised. I am grateful to be awake this morning, and just have to give a shout out to my pastor this morning. On yesterday night, at our midweek service, we had a video and Bible study, and it was a pastor that talked about forgiveness and how we have to forgive by name, because when you hold it, it hurts you. It hurts your walk with God. And I didn't realize that I had so many people that I was still holding in my heart and had not forgiven. And as I was going to sleep last night, I started naming people and asking God to remove any unforgiveness in my heart that I had for those folks. And I went to sleep and woke up this morning still with names on my list. And so I had to ask God, finally, to help me forgive myself. And that's the hard forgive, is to forgive yourself for things that you've done, foolish things you've done, things that you've done that you thought you were answering the voice of God. But then when you look at it from a bigger perspective, you realize that God will not tell you anything to do that would hurt or harm you. And then you have to ask God to forgive you because you were listening to the wrong voice. So thanking my pastor for this video that really gave me something to think about. And I am grateful because I feel like this weight has been lifted off my shoulders that I've been carrying. You know how you get a little pain in your arm and you don't know where it's coming from? It's coming from unforgiveness that you don't think you have in your heart, but you do. Because unforgiveness does not hurt the person you're not forgiving. It hurts us. It hurts us. And I didn't realize that some of my issues was because I was walking around with some unforgiveness in my heart. So I asked God this morning to forgive me. I should say I asked God to forgive others who have hurt me, as I asked God to forgive me from having unforgiveness in my heart. So I thank God this morning for being a forgiving God, because if God was like us, human, there would be no earth. There would be no planet. There would not have been a great flood and a saving of mankind. There would not be us in this world if God was like us. So all I can do is say, Lord, thank you for not being like me. Thank you for not being human. Thank you for being a forgiving God. And I thank God for the chastisement that he gives, because God does not need to spare the rod. Because God says, I want you to hear my voice and be able to discern me from the voice of the enemy. Because I will do nothing to hurt you. I will do nothing to allow you to hurt yourself. And God will put stumbling blocks all in front And that would, that should let you know, don't do this. It goes smooth. You know it's from God. If you have stumbling blocks all over the place, it's not from God. And I had took me all these years to finally figure that out. That when God tries to stop something, you need to stop it. Because if God is putting a stumbling block in front of it, it's not meant for you. Because God's got something better. So I'm thanking God for the better this morning. I'm thanking God for the stumbling blocks this morning. I'm thanking God for being able to hold my peace this morning and to say what needs to be said and for the rest to be quiet. That was the title God gave me this morning because we're going to be in the book of Job today. And I tell you, you know, sometimes folks need to keep their tongues behind their teeth, especially when they don't know what they're talking about. And I saw this in the Word this morning, you know, because we know Job's three friends, you know, they did their talking. Now there's a fourth that's going to be speaking today. And he's young and he's full of vinegar and fire and, you know, ready to say what he's got to say and keep it moving. And the word that God gave me as I was studying was, when you don't know what to say, be quiet. Be quiet. Simple. When you don't know what to say, be quiet. You don't always have to have an opinion on everything. If you don't know what to say, be quiet. And I thought, wow. You know, God will give you something very profound when you least expect it. When you don't know what to say, be quiet. Job's friends didn't have anything to say, but they couldn't be quiet. In the beginning, they were telling Job everything that he had done and all of da-da-da. All had an opinion, but none knew the truth. And so today, the youngster's going to step up to the plate and give his opinion when he needed to have been quiet. So let's get in our word this morning. This morning we are coming out of the book of Job. We will be in Job chapter 31 through, God willing, Job chapter 36. So 31 to 36 in Job. And if time permits, we will go into Psalms and Proverbs. Father God in heaven, I just come to you this morning thanking you for the revelations that you have given me through the night, for the dreams that you have had me dream, for understanding unforgiveness that was in my heart. So, Father God, I ask you to pull out any roots of unforgiveness that may still remain. I ask you, Lord, to pull out every root, every stump, everything that's not like you that is in me. I ask you, Lord, to give me a heart to forgive, a heart of understanding your word, and not just to be a speaker of the word, a talker of the word, but a doer of the word. For Lord God, I am your servant. I say what you want me to say. And Lord, I ask you to teach me how to just be quiet and keep my opinions behind my tongue. Lord God, for you are in charge, and only you will be able to judge every one of us on the day of judgment. So, Father God, I am thanking you this morning for revelation. Thanking you this morning for a purging of my spirit. Thanking you this morning for lifted weights. Thanking you this morning for a heart that's ready to receive as well as give. Father God, I thank you this morning for this mighty word that you are giving us for this basic instruction before leaving earth. Lord God, may it permeate our hearts, our mind and our spirit, that we will not just hear it, but do it. As I said, Lord God, you are in charge. Use me, Lord God, that those that see me see you in me. Remove flesh, Lord God, and replace it with your Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray you increase as I decrease, and that the words of my mouth be spoken in humbleness. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. Ask you, Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, that this word help someone today. That those that listen today, someone will get what they need to touch their hearts, to help their spirit, that they will be open to be poured into by you, Lord God. Pour into every empty space within me, Lord God, your Holy Spirit, that I will follow your way and your will. And I ask you, Lord, to remove all flesh. In Jesus' name, fill me up with you, Father. Increase as I decrease. And speak what needs to be spoken. And what does not need to be spoken, Lord, keep it behind my teeth. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you. Amen. God and I talk. I have conversations with God. Because sometimes he's the only one that you can talk to. When you're going through, talk to God. You don't need to take it to the phone all the time. You need to take it to the throne every time. We got to learn how to take our situations to the throne and tell our situations about our God, and that our God can handle all things, and that he will not fail, and he will not fail us. Keep trusting in God, family. As we move forward in this word this morning, I pray that it touches your heart and that you realize as we go through this word of Job that none of us can say we are Job. I don't want to be a Job. I'll just be a Bridget. Because Job went through hell. Hell came to heaven. And Job was allowed to be messed with. When you're going through, just know that God is in charge and that he's got you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And that when you give it to God and be quiet, he will handle. So let's keep starting, but also remember this, an empty mouth will not be, a closed mouth will not be fed. You still got to tell God whatever the situation is and ask God's help, even though he already knows it. He just wants you to ask for it. So don't forget that. Ask for what you need and let God hear your petition, as Job did, and let's see what happens. So let's keep it moving. Job chapter 31. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any sport, any spot adheres to my hands. Job is saying my hands are clean. Then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down over her. For that would be wickedness. Yes, it would be iniquity deserving of judgment. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servants when they complained against me, when then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? If I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself, so that the fatherless could not eat of it, but from my youth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep. If I have raised my hand against the fatherless, then when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder. Let my arm be torn from the socket, for destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. We all have those Job moments where we feel like we're just going through, but we know we haven't done anything wrong. Let's keep it going. If I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much. If I have observed the sun when it shined, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand. This also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment. For I would have denied God who is above, if I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, set myself up when evil found him. Indeed, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul. If the men of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. If I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept silent and did not go out of the door, or that I had one to hear me, here is my mark, or that the Almighty would answer me, that my persecutor had written a book. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder and bind it on me like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. If my land cries out against me and its furrows weep together, if I have eaten its fruit without money or caused its owner to lose their lives, then let thistle grow instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ending. Notice Job just pleaded his case. And let's go back to some life lessons from Dr. Stanley from this Job chapter 31 word. And again, to those that are just joining us, this is a year-long Bible study from Genesis to Revelation. And we are coming out of the Life Principles Daily Bible by Dr. Charles Stanley, and it's biblical principles for each day of the year. The only time we deviate from the day is on Fridays, where Fridays we will read Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's word from the Old Testament. And then on Sunday we will read Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's word from the New Testament, God willing. And if that is the desire of God, sometimes it's the New Testament in Psalms or Proverbs. I don't know, whatever God gives me is what I do. And so we are reading Job, and then on Sunday we will be in 1 Corinthians, God willing. But as we go through this word, Dr. Stanley gives life lessons, life questions, life answers. And so we read the life questions and the life answers and the life examples from Dr. Stanley so that the word gets an understanding in context. Thank God, Dr. Stanley, for his wisdom and for his words. And so this is a life lesson with commentary by Dr. Stanley. And it says this in Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. When hard times come, it can help to recall how God already has worked in our hearts to shape us into the likeness of Christ. God finishes what he starts, and what he began in us, he will certainly complete. You know, I love what it says. God is doing a great work in me. And then it goes on, he's faithful to perform it. My God is faithful to perform it. My God is doing a great work in me. I think it's one of the Nelson twins. And I just thank God for doing a great work in me, helping me to become better, helping us to become better. God is doing a great work in all of us. And all we have to do is open our hearts, minds, and souls to receive what God is doing, because he is the potter and we are his clay. Job chapter 31, verse 4, does he not see my ways and count my steps? God does indeed see everything we do, hear everything we say, and record everywhere we go. He desires an intimate relationship with us, and his ultimate knowledge of us makes that possible. You know, I had to laugh when I read that. I thought, God is a stalker. And then I thought, no, God is a protector and protects us from stalkers. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for being my protector and being with me wherever I go. Understand, you could be going to your left when God said go right. And the reason he didn't want you to go left was because he knew there was danger on the left. But if we go left, then that becomes our decision. And it was not because God did not warn us. So just throwing that out there. I've gone left many a times when I should have gone right. And God did warn me, and I didn't listen, and I lost so much. But I thank God that he is a restorer. Keep it moving. It says in Job chapter 32, and now we have a new voice. And this voice is a youngster who thinks he has been watching and listening, and just all indignation is coming over him because he just got something to say when he needs to be quiet. But let's see what this baby has to say. And it says this. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom, and there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore, I say, listen to me. I will declare my opinion. Okay, We all know about opinions, right? Indeed, I waited for your words. I listened to your reasoning while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention to you, and surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words, lest you say, we have found wisdom. God will vanquish him, not man. Now he has not directed his words against me, so I will not answer him with your words. They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them. And I have waited because they did not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. I will answer my part. I, too, will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like a new wineskin. I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away. Excuse us, little boy. When did you get to be grown? You know, and that's what you feel when children get all up in grown folk conversation. You know, you trying to have a conversation between grown people, and this child comes in because they've been sitting and watching and decide that they got the what? The spirit. What did he say? I also will answer my part. I, too, will declare my opinion. And who asked your opinion? Mr. Elihu. Who asked you to open your mouth? Who asked you to speak? You know, this child is all up in grown folk conversation. And I'm just going to call it like it is. Children need to be seen and not heard. That's what we used to be told when we were children. Children need to be seen and not heard. And yes, we know that in many instances, children leave. God put that in the word. And a little child shall lead them. But in some things, children need to be quiet because they don't have the wisdom to speak. Excuse me. And as Dr. Stanley said in his word, in this life lesson, Job 32:18, I am full of words. And it says, Elihu had a difficult time holding his tongue. He thought he had much to add, but in fact, he merely restated the foolish things already said. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And we're going to go over to Proverbs chapter 19. And this is what it says, and I want to go up, actually, to verse 1. And this is a Solomon proverb. It says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who calls to shame. Blessings are the head of the righteous. We read all of this before. Blessings are the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, for a prattling fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life. the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. And this is the word that Dr. Stanley gave. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And that was the word God gave us this morning. If you don't have nothing to say, be quiet. And it goes on to say in verse number 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. We're going to read all of this word this morning. It says, as vinegar. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man of those who sin him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous knows what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Sometimes, like I said, this young man just knows what he says. For I am full of words. He says, I also will answer my part. Like, you know, okay, I too will declare my opinion. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. And the question becomes, young man, what is the spirit within you that is compelling you to get into this A, B, C, D conversation that has absolutely nothing to do with you? Because you don't even know, you don't have enough wisdom to open your mouth and speak. But he's going to give his opinion. So let's get into Mr. Elihu's opinion. Our Elihu's opinion, because he just knows he knows what he's talking about. So the young man is about to continue speaking and giving his opinion. And he says, but hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth. My tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. Surely no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your word saying, I am pure without transgression. I am innocent, and there is no iniquity in me. Yet he finds occasions against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my foot in the stocks. He watches all my paths. Look in this, you are not righteous. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the eyes of men and seals their instruction. In order to turn man from his deeds and conceal pride from men, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with strong pain in many of his bones, so that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones stick out, which once were not seen. Yes, his soul draws near the pit, and his life to the executioners. If there is a messenger for him, a mediator, one among a thousand to show man his uprightness, then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy. But he restores man his righteousness. Then he looks at men and says, I have sinned and perverted what was right, and it did not profit me. He will redeem his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Behold, God works all these things twice, in fact, three times with a man to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. Give ear, Job. Listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will teach you wisdom. Okay. The youngster speaking. And Dr. Stanley said, God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. Because God may want to speak to us in any number of ways, some of them quite surprising. We must always keep our ears open and our spirits ready to listen for his voice. Chapter 34, Elihu further answers and said, hear my words, you wise men. Give ear to me, you who have knowledge, for the ear tests words as the palate tastes food. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Should I lie concerning my right? My wound is incurable, though I am without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinks scorn like water, who goes in company with the workers of iniquity and walks with wicked men? For he has said, it profits a man nothing that he should delight in God. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to commit iniquity, for he repays man according to his work, and makes man to find a reward according to his way. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth? Who appointed him over the whole world? If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh will perish together, and man will return to dust. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to the sound of my words. Should one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is most just? Is it fitting to say to a king, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. In a moment, they die in the middle of the night. The people are shaken and pass away. The mighty are taken away without a hand. For his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. But he need not further consider a man, that he should go before God in judgment. He breaks in pieces mighty men without iniquity, without inquiry, and sets others in their place. Therefore, he knows their works. He overthrows them in the night, and they are crushed. He strikes them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways, so that they cause the cry of the poor to come to him. For he hears the cry of the afflicted. When he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hides his face, who then can see him? Whether it is against a nation or a man alone, that the hypocrite should not reign, lest the people be ensnared. Anyone said to God, I have borne chastity. I will offend no more. Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Should he repay it according to your terms? Just because you disavow it, you must choose and not I. Therefore, speak what you know. Men of understanding say to me, wise men who listen to me, Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without wisdom, or that Job was tried to the utmost, because his answers are like those of wicked men. But he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. And this is what the life lesson for Job chapter 34:12 says for Dr. Stanley. God would never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. We may not understand why God allows some very bad things to happen to very godly people, but we never have to wonder about his character. He will always do what is right. That truth will never change. God always does what is right. We don't, but God does. Job chapter 35-36. Moreover, Elihu answered and said, do you think this is right? Do you say my righteousness is more than God's? For you say, what advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned? I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see, and behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Whew, this baby is just preaching this morning, isn't he? Your wickedness affects a man such as you, and your righteousness a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. No one says, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens? There they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it. Although you say you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. And now, because he has not punished in his anger, nor taken much notice of folly, therefore Job opens his mouth in vain. He multiplies words without knowledge. Chapter 36, Elihu also proceeded and said, bear with me a little, and I will show you that there are yet words to speak to God on God's behalf. Now here we go, somebody speaking for God. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker, for truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked. He gives justice to the oppressed. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings. For he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in fetters, held in cords of affliction, then he tells them their work and their transgressions that they have added defiantly. He also opens their eyes to instruction and commands that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. There's a prosperity message. And their years in pleasure. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart store up wrath. They do not cry for help when he binds them. They die in youth, and their life ends among the perverted persons. He delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their eyes in oppression. Indeed, he would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint, and what is set on your table would be full of richness. But you are filled with the judgment due the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold of you, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take you away with one blow, for a large ransom would not help you avoid it. Will your riches or all the mighty forces keep you from distress? Do not desire the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, do not turn to iniquity, for you have chosen this rather than affliction. Behold, God is exalted by his power. Who teaches like him? Who has assigned him his way? Or who has said, you have done wrong? Remember to magnify his work, of which men have sung. Everyone has seen it. Man looks on it from afar. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered. But he draws up drops of water, which distill as rain from the mist, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Indeed, can anyone understand the spreading of clouds, the thunder from his canopy? Look, he scatters his light upon it and covers the depths of the sea. For by these he judges the peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike. His thunder declares it, the cattle also concerning the rising storm. And Dr. Stanley has to say in chapter 36, he delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their eyes in oppression. God wants to use our afflictions and the way he delivers us from them to lead us into a deeper and richer relationship with him. We should treat adversity as a bridge to a closer walk with God. But I just say, when you're going through adversity, you're wanting that closer walk, but you are on your knees. We got to push. Now, I'm not going to say, Ellie, you did not have a good thing to say. He had some great things to say. But the problem was he didn't know what he was talking about, and he needed to have kept his tongue behind his teeth. He should have just been quiet and listened for a little while longer. God wants to use each and every one of us for his glory. And this situation that Job is going through will be for the glory of God. God will get the glory out of this situation. And I say, whatever situation you are going through, when everything is said and done, God will get the glory. And I just have time for a few psalms, and we're going to go through our psalms. And if God permits, we will try to hear Proverbs today, and Sunday will be our New Testament word. But in our Psalms this morning, we are in Psalms 98, if you want to join me there. And it says this, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness. He has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Wow. All you have to do is just keep your eyes open. Keep looking up. God has our back. Psalms 98, 4-9. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the seas roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world, the people, and the people with iniquity. The people with equity. God is an equal opportunity God. Hallelujah. And for Psalms 98, a few life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And it's just one, and it just says this, with righteousness, he shall judge the world. And it says this, Jesus told his disciples, the Father judges not one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. John 5:22. When he returns, Jesus will fulfill this verse and bring God's justice to our troubled planet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we have one more psalm this morning. And then we will be wrapping it up with a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And on Sunday, we will have 1 Corinthians and Proverbs. And it says in Psalms 99:1-9, the Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He dwells before the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. He is holy. Thank you, God. The king's strength also leads justice. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship in his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them, God, who forgives, though you took vengeance on your deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And I'm going to read one more time, verses 8-9. Because as I started the show this morning, I talked about forgiveness. And this is what the word of God is. We ended this morning. And it says this. You answered them, O Lord, our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. And life lessons from chapter 99 of Psalms is this. Verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. And it says, why should we tremble when we ponder God's sovereignty? Why should our hearts be moved when we consider his presence? Because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality. And that's 1 Timothy 6:15-16. And as we go to Psalms 99:8, and we're saying this again, you were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. God's forgiveness is not incompatible with or opposed to his discipline. When we place our faith in Christ, he gives our sins past, present, and future. He forgives our sins past, present, and future. I'm going to read that again. God's forgiveness is not incompatible with or opposed to his discipline. When we place our faith in Christ, he forgives our sins, our past sins, the sins of yesterday. He forgives the sins of today and he forgives the sins of tomorrow. And as Dr. Stanley says, he forgives our sins, past, present, and future. But he still promises to discipline us when necessary. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. God does not play. And we're going to go over really, really quick to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12. Again, I believe that the word should be read, but it should be read in context so that we know exactly what we're talking about. And when we go to Hebrews chapter 12, and it just says, the Son exalted above angels. And we're going to go up to verse number 5 and say, and it says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. That was verse number 12. And it goes on to tell us, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, shall I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Thanking God this morning for his word. Thanking God for his grace and his mercy. And as we go up one more to a couple of verses from the beginning, and it says, God's supreme revelation. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And again, I thank God for each of you listening in. And the word for this morning is simply this. Good morning. Faith is not believing that God can. It is knowing that God will. Have a faith-filled Friday, family. And again, thank you so much for listening to the word this morning, for letting God pour into you his word through me. I thank God that he allowed me to be used this morning. And I thank you all for listening in. And the word that God has one more time is, when you don't know what to say, be quiet. And so it's time for me to be quiet and to pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours, asking God to watch over you, to bless you, to guide you, and to lead you, and make his faithfulness and his love shine upon you as you go forth today. Thank you, Lord God, for this day, for your word, and for all that has been spoken. May it add a blessing to our hearts, minds, and souls, in Jesus' name. And family, I say to you this morning, it is a wrap. It's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. And join me, God willing, on Sunday, 7 a.m., as we go through our New Testament word in Proverbs. Thank you so much. It is a wrap. Have a faith-filled Friday, family. And may God bless you and watch over you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.